Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Prospering Souls broadcast. I am your host, Elder Denise Bryson of Denise Bryson Ministries.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. Truly, God is good. His mercy endures forever. And we're just so thankful for God and all that He is doing. We thank God for the opportunity to be back on the broadcast. I messed my time up last week. I was trying to go to a service and trying to do too many things, and then my time kind of got off, and I was going to extend it to come on later. And then, of course, I got back home, and then I was exhausted, and I was like, oh, Lord, I don't want to be on here too tired. And so I just said, well, let me just come on next week. I really didn't want to do that because I want to stay focused, but I did that. And so anyway, we are back on here. Of course, we're still talking about fasting. We're going to be talking about it probably this week and next week because I really want to get finished. But as I started to dive into those New Testament scriptures, some other things just started popping up. God started giving me some other things. And so I'm just so excited about the Word of God today, just excited to be on the broadcast and back to doing what the Lord has told me to do. I'm going to keep doing it. This is foundational teaching. This is teaching for those that, you know, the newly saved, those that are not saved, and for all of us, because, you know, teaching is just teaching the Word of God. You can hear it over and over and over again, and sometimes you'll hear something differently, and sometimes you won't. So, you know, you're just excited about God. So I'm excited about today's lesson. You know, when we left off let me pray first, because, you know, I get in, I get excited. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you today. We thank you for your mercy and for your grace. We thank you for your loving kindness. Lord, we ask you to let the Word fall on good ground today, Lord. Let it go out and do what you have commissioned it to do, Father. And, Lord, we ask you, Lord Jesus, Lord, to bless your people, Lord. There's so many people that are dealing with devastating situations. Bless those that were affected by the hurricanes, those in the Florida area that were affected by the hurricanes. Some have lost everything that they've ever worked for. They've lost loved ones. They've lost so much in their just a spirit of devastation. But, God, you are able to do exceeding abundantly above all that they can ask a thing. Lord, we ask you to bless those that were touched by the tornadoes touched down in Arkansas, in Arkansas and in Oklahoma and the various areas of devastation, even in those places. God, we're asking you, Lord Jesus, to bless them as only you can. Lord, let the hope of Christ shine through, that they will believe in you and they will hope in you, oh God, and know that you have something better for them. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for everything. And Lord, we ask you, Lord Jesus, to bless us today, Lord, as we go into the Word of God, that you will bless us, Lord, and keep us, oh God, in the name of Jesus. We ask you, Lord, to bless each and every person under the sound of my voice. You know what they stand in need of, Lord. Do miracles in their lives. Bless all of those that have lost loved ones, Father. All of those that have lost loved ones, and Lord, they're mourning and they're a little discouraged right now. But Lord, comfort them as only you can. Lord, I don't have nothing, no fancy words to say to them, but only that God can do it. God is the one that's going to bless you. He's the one that's going to comfort you, and he will be the one to be there with you through it all. So I'm just praying that the Lord will bless each and every one of you, and that, Lord, that we will continue to do the will of God, that we will be found doing your will, Lord Jesus, that when you come back, you'll be able to say to us, well done, Father, in the name of Jesus. So, Lord, we bless you. Bless all the children, oh God. I like to pray for the children and the schools, oh God. Bless these children when they come to school. Lord, that they will come with a mind to learn, oh God, and that the teachers will be blessed, Lord, and they won't have to go through so much to get them to learn and things like that. Cover them all with your blood, Father. Lord, we speak peace in this country. Bless our leadership of this country. Lord, we ask you to touch as only you can. Save, Lord, such as should be saved. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen and amen. Thank you so much for each and every one of you that are logging on to Facebook. I thank you for logging on and being a part of the broadcast. Thank you for all of those that are logging in, those that are calling in on the radio show. We thank God for each and every one of you. And also always thankful for those that even will listen to it later. We thank God for each and every one of you, as we're so excited. So we've been talking about fasting for a while. Who knew that fasting would be that long of a topic? But anyway, it's so much. I wanted to walk, God told me to walk through the scriptures and begin to talk about each fast individually. so that we could get some understanding of fasting and the different reasons why they were fasting throughout the Bible, and even how it's beneficial for us today. If we really want to know what God is saying to us, fast. If you want to know what your purpose is, fast about it and begin to pray and seek God about it. And then you'll begin to get an understanding. He'll begin to give you what it is. When I always say that, you know, we can pray all the time because the Bible tells us to pray without ceasing. But the one thing that enhances our prayer life is fasting. And so if you want to, because you can't fast without praying, and so if you want to enhance your prayer life, then begin to fast a little more. You know, I'm not saying you got to fast all the time. I'm not saying anything. I'm not telling anybody what to fast or how to fast or when to fast, none of that. That's something between you and God. That is something, we're going to talk about that when we get to Matthew 6, how Jesus viewed fasting, those private things, and how they were with God will reward us openly and those types of things. But we're going to start today in the book of Joel. I'm starting in Joel because Joel kind of segues, it kind of meant Joel talks about fasting and talks about really the day of the Lord, the day of the Lord that is coming, and how God is going to, you know, he's going to have that day, and when he's coming back, he's going to judge those that are living in sin, and he's going to bless those that have it right with him. But it's that day of the Lord. It's that day of the Lord. They've been talking about it for a long time. Is when Jesus is going to come back for his reign, and you know, the great army is going to come. All of those things are going to be happening. So we got to remember those days are still coming. That's not something that has happened just yet, but it is something that will happen in the future. And nobody, like that, he always says, no man knows the day or the hour when the Son of Man shall appear, that when he will come back. And so, but we want to talk about, and the reason why I want to talk about Joel in such a way is because Joel is also mentioned in the New Testament, and so it kind of brings us into the New Testament to me, because it's a shift that goes on in the book of Joel when Joel is prophesying to the people, and so I want to talk about that, and then I'll talk about how it was mentioned over in the book of Acts on the day of Pentecost, and then we'll go from there, we'll go right to Jesus, because when Jesus fasted, so there was a shift in the fast, and that's why I was saying, If you want to know your purpose, if you got ministry down inside of you, sanctify a fast. Go on a fast and begin, because in the New Testament, fasting is beginning to launch ministry. And each time there was a fast, they were launching ministry. And so Jesus' ministry, Paul's ministry, Barnabas' ministry, all of those things were being launched. And so they were moving into a different place. Not that, because you got to remember, you know, in the Old Testament, they were fasting for the repentance of sins, and not that we still don't have to do that, but Jesus came. So, see, there's a new covenant that came in place when Jesus came, and I'm going to get into that as well. And so when he came, he kind of switched things up, because he died for our sins. He was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. He is the one that took away the sins of the people, took away our reproach. If we believe in him, if we give our life to him, then he switched that around. So then you don't fast. We're still fasting for repentance of sins because we're still doing stuff. But anyway, but what I'm saying is it shifted a little bit. It shifted to when that, because fasting launched his ministry. Fasting, it was fasting that done these things, and so it gave them power. And so that's another thing. If you want power to do the word, to do the will of God, then you want to fast and pray. You want to make sure that you are in that place with God so that God can speak to us. We wonder why we're not seeing miracles like we want used to. We wonder why we're not doing the greater work that Jesus promised we could do, because we're not digging in and we're not diving in like they were. I'm getting too far, but let me say this, and then I'll come back to it later. Because just like Jesus told them in Matthew 17 and 20:21, remember when he told them, he said, and I'll read it here. Let me go to it since I'm here. But anyway, Jesus told them, you know, the lunatic, the young man, the father took his son for them to cast the demon out of them, and the disciples couldn't do it. And so he brought him to Jesus. He said, I took him to your disciples, and your disciples couldn't do it. And so Jesus cast the demon out of him. And then the disciples was asking, he said, well, Lord, you know, why couldn't we do it? And he told him, he said, this kind goeth not out but by fasting and prayer. So if you, that right there proves, if we want to see the miracles and the greater works come to pass, then we're going to have to start doing some fasting and praying so that those things can begin to come about again. He said, they won't, then Jesus said himself, this ain't me saying, he said, they will not, you can't do it without fasting and praying. That's what he said. So anyway, let's go to Joel, because I'll get too far down and I won't get up here to this where I was. So in the book of Joel is really talking about one fast. It looks like in chapter 1 he's talking about a fast, and he's talking about another fast in chapter 2. But really he is talking about the same fast, because what he's doing in chapter 1, he talks about, and let me get to my scripture so I can read it. Okay, so let me just start with this. Okay, so Joel opens up, and he was a prophet. First of all, he's a prophet to the nation of Judah. So, you know, Judah and Benjamin had merged together. Judah and Benjamin had merged together because Judah became such a smaller nation. If you remember the fast I talked about over in Judges 20 and 26, where Benjamin was almost annihilated by his brothers because of the sin that had happened over in the Benjamin tribe, that sin that had happened, and then they all came against them, and, you know, and all that went on. And so he was almost, and so very few of them left. And so what happened was they were part of the southern kingdom, and then all the other tribes went to the northern kingdom, because under Saul they were united, under David they were united. So 40 years under Saul, 40 years under David, and then 40 years under Solomon, Israel was a united nation, right? They were all together. But then when Solomon died, Rehoboam, his son, took over, and then the people didn't want to be up under him, because I think it had something to do with the taxing, that he was taxing them so, and so they wanted to break out. So the other 10 tribes went with Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and so he was an evil king. And I say we're going to do a study about them kings, so we can talk about those kings and those prophets, what they prophesied during that time. This is something I learned when I was in ministry school. It was an awesome lesson. Anyway, the kings and what they prophesied during that time, and the prophets prophesied and all of that stuff, which one was good, which one was bad, and all of that kind of stuff. And we'll get into that and talk about that a little bit so that we can, just some lessons. But anyway, we'll do that. But anyway, so that's what had happened. They had split. So the kingdoms had split. So you had all the other tribes that went with Jeroboam, and then you had Judah and Benjamin that went with Rehoboam. And so there they were. So Joel prophesied to the southern kingdom, which was Judah. And so he is telling them, he said, you know, he was talking about God's judgment, and then he also talked about yet God's justice, and there was also a great mercy in there as well. So he talks about all of that and what God is doing in those particular things. He talks about his mercy, talks about his justice. But anyway, he told him in, I think it's 1 and 14, let me get to it, yeah, 1 and 14, he said, sanctify ye a fast, call a solemn assembly. And he said, gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land unto the house of the Lord your God, and cry unto the Lord. And so the priest, first of all, he told the priest that first, because he wanted, the priests were the ones that called the fast, would call the fast to the people. And what he was trying to do, he wanted them to do the proclamation, and so that the people could begin to prepare themselves. And so then we jump over to chapter 2, where they actually begin to go into the fast. Because we're talking about the day of the Lord here. We're talking about the day of the Lord. The Lord's getting ready to come back, and the day of the Lord, and the things that are going to be happening during that time. That's what Joel is prophesying. So he's telling them about things to come, and if they don't get themselves in a place with God, what could happen if they're not in the right place. And so it says in the chapter 2 and 11, it says, and the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, and his camp is very great, for he is strong that executeth his word. For the day of the Lord, is great and very terrible, and who can abide in it? And so then it says, therefore now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me, with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning. And rend your heart, he said, rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Now, for a minute, I want to talk about that heart matter, because, you know, we've been talking about that even in the book of Isaiah when we were talking about that acceptable fast. When we began to talk about that acceptable fast, God was telling them that there's a fast that, you know, they were fasting, they were praying, they were doing all of that, but they were doing it more in a religious point state, because they were still cutting up, they were still doing slavery things. They were still, you know, making the people hard for the people. They were doing all this stuff. And then they were wondering why that their prayers weren't getting answered, why this stuff wasn't happening, why is the Lord not answering? We're doing all the right things. But they wasn't doing it for the right reason because their heart was not right. And so we got to understand that when we're talking about, when we're doing things for God, we got to have the right heart. I think when I mentioned it back when we were talking about the series that was Watching What You Say, and that series, and be careful about what you're saying and things like that. And when Jesus told him, he said, it's in the heart of the man what comes out. And so we got to understand that the heart's got to be right with God. That was the one thing about David. I always think about David when I think about that. David did a whole bunch of stuff. David was doing a whole bunch of stuff. But the one thing about David, his heart was right with God. He might have messed up in sin. He might have messed up and done some stuff, but he had the right heart with God. And so because of that, God had mercy on David. He had mercy on the things that he'd done. And so he began to, even though he had to repent and he had to pay for some things, he wasn't giving him that kind of break. But the thing about it is David was a man after God's own heart. And so we got to remember that our heart matters are important. So here God is telling them in the 12th verse, he said, in the 14th verse, he said, and rend your heart and not your garments. Because he's getting ready. He want them to go on a fast. He want to sanctify this fast. But the thing about the heart and what I wanted to say about that is, you know, back in the day when they were fasting, they would tear up their garments. They would put on sackcloth and ashes, get in the ashes and all that. So it appeared, they had an outward appearance of fasting. But God didn't want that this time. He wanted an inward. He didn't want the outward show. He wanted their inward heart to be different. And so he wanted them to rend their hearts and not their garments. And when I thought about that, this came in my mind about Nineveh. Nineveh was a wicked nation. And that's why Jonah didn't even want to go and tell them what God had told him to tell them, because he felt like they didn't deserve to have no mercy. That's what he really felt like. And so, but they believed God. So evidently they had a heart right. Their heart was right somewhere, even though they was doing some wicked stuff. Their heart was right, because as soon as they heard that they were going to be destroyed, they suffered a fast. And they began to fast because they know God said he was going to destroy them in 40 days. And I'm telling you, them people got on, they got down there and they started fasting, they started repenting, and they started praying, and God turned that thing around for them, and he didn't destroy that nation. So what I'm saying is when our heart is right, God, we can stop our fasting, our praying, we can get things changed. Because when it's gone, Lord, help me. But we can get things changed because it's the heart that God is looking at. And if I read over here, and this proves what I'm saying, because God said over here when he was, this was actually when the kingdom had been rent out of Saul's hand, and he told Samuel to go to Jesse's house because another king was down there, right? And so he told him that. And so what he said to him, because you know, Saul was tall. He was of great stature. They said Saul stood high above the rest of them and things like that. And actually, Saul was from the tribe of Benjamin. So I remember I told you that Benjamin and Judah joined together because Benjamin had almost been annihilated back over in Judges, the 20th chapter. But anyway, in 1 Samuel, the 16th chapter, in the 7th verse, God said to Samuel, he said, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. He was talking about one of them brothers that Jesse kept sending out all them other brothers. You know, it was seven of them. I think eight of them. And he kept sending out all them other brothers and left David back there in the field. And so he said, I have refused him, for the Lord seeth not as man seeth. And this is the point I'm making, not about Jesse and all them. It's really not my point. But my point is, Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. So it is a heart matter when you begin to fast and pray. God wants your heart to be right. So that's why he was telling them in the book of Joel, rend your heart, not your garment. Because they was good at putting on that sackcloth and ashes and getting down there on that ash heap. They was good at doing that. But God said, we ain't want that outward show this time. I want your heart to get right with me. Because we're talking about the day of the Lord at this point. So we're talking about God getting ready to bring some judgment upon them. And what they didn't want to do is for God to bring judgment and their heart not be in the right place. I'm telling you, we have got to get ourselves back in the right place with God. And I'm not saying nobody's in the wrong place. That's what I'm not saying. But for those of you that are, you know who you are. You got to shop your own stuff. He said, work out your own soul salvation. That's what we got to do. And so then we got to get our heart back in the right place. And sometimes we can be sitting right up in the church and be a little off. I'm just being honest about it. We can get all saved. And so we got to get ourselves back in right. So that's why we fast and we pray, so we can keep ourselves in the right place with God. And so that's what he was talking about. And so I'm going so fast, I feel like I'm getting ahead of myself. And anyway, and then he also gave me a reference in Matthew 23, but I won't go there because that's a lengthy scripture. But anyway, so God wants our heart to be in the right place. And then that's why he was talking in Isaiah. He talked about that acceptable fast. And you know, in that acceptable fast, I had it right up here right quick, see if I can get to it. You know, he told us, he said, when we do the acceptable fast, that's mentioned in Isaiah 58, he said, we'll loose the bands of wickedness and we'll remove the heavy burdens from the people and we'll let the oppressed go free and to break yokes and to share our bread with the hungry and to shelter the homeless. We'll begin to do those things and when we're doing things right, because we got to remember, we're just not here about ourselves and for us to get, you know, to be prosperous and for us to do it. We got to have, it's about ministry. It's always been about ministry for God. It's not about you getting prosperous and the people beside you not having nothing, or you getting, like, you win the lottery and then all the other people, you don't give nothing to your family, let them stay broke and poor. That's not how that's supposed to go. First of all, we're supposed to give to others. We're supposed to be concerned about the welfare of others. He said, we are to love ourselves, love our neighbors as we love ourselves. Does anybody on the broadcast have anything to say? Because, you know, I'll be going fast. Now, let me get them in. Amen. Anybody?
Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen, Sister Dotson. Thank the Lord. And so it's just so much that we have to begin to rethink, because I think sometimes we've gone so far. You know, one of my things about even the children, I feel like, did we really, in this generation that we have now, did we really do our due diligence at reiterating God and telling them about God and all of those kind of things? Did we really do our due diligence at that? And I'm not really sure we did, because some of them don't know nothing about the Lord. And so that's something that we got to do as well. We got a lot to do. So anyway, but let's get back to the fasting. So here we're talking about in Joel, and I want to get to this particular scripture because I can go on a long time about Joel. Let me see. Here's my scripture. So God told them to turn and to rend their hearts and not their garments and not to show that outward affection. And something else. Oh, no, here it is right here. I got to get to my scripture because I don't want to be off, because you know I can go real fast. And I had all that kind of. Here we go. So then I want to skip all the way down to the 17th chapter. To the 17th verse of the second chapter of Joel. And it says, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, because I'm bringing this into my New Testament stuff. That's why I'm bringing this out. And it shall, because this is the law first mentioned here. This is when this scripture is first mentioned and then it's mentioned again over in Acts. It says, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on the servants, on my servants and on my handmaids, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs on the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor and smoke. So I'm just saying that, you know, God will do those things. He will give those types of miracles to us. He'll pour that spirit upon us, and he'll bless us with those kind of things. But we have to begin to want a deeper relationship with him and a deeper place with him. When they began to do ministry, they were in a very deep place. They believed God, and they were in that place with the Lord. Because I remember I told you over in Matthew at first, They couldn't cast the demon out. But then after that day of Pentecost on, they was flying, every them demons was getting on. They was raising people up from the dead. They were raising people up from the man at the gate called Beautiful. He said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have thee, raise, right, take up thy bed and walk. They were beginning to do miracles, but they had gotten a place with the Lord. They had gotten a place with the Lord. So if we want to get in that place, if we want to really do the things that we feel like God is calling us to, then we got to begin to fast and pray and really get a better relationship with God, a deeper relationship with God. When we really fast and pray, we are hungering after God. We are seeking after God. That's what we're doing when we get in that place. And so, you know, like I said, we were talking about, Joel was talking about the day of judgment, and so he was talking about that. And then he kind of went through a contrast in that particular prophecy. Because first he was talking about the fear of God and the judgment of God. And then he went to with joy of God's intervention. It says the day of the Lord, sin will bring judgment and only God's forgiveness will bring rejoicing. That's what we're talking about. And then unless you repent, your sin will result in punishment. But let God intervene in your life. And that's for somebody that doesn't know the Lord. Let God begin to intervene in your life. For your loved ones that you know that need to be saved, let God begin to intervene in their life so that God can turn it around. He can turn that stony heart to flesh, and then they can be able to receive God. And so that's what he wants for us. But then what he said was he went from preaching the judgment of God to preaching that the mercy of God. Because he told him up there, and this is where you get that scripture that says that he's gonna restore the years that the palmer worm, the locusts, the all of them have eaten. Now let me read it so I won't be getting them out of order. That's what I want to do. Let's see. Okay. It says this is we're still in the second verse in the 23rd chapter, where it talks about it saying. It says, thank you for everybody that's joining me. It says, fear not. This is on the 21st verse of Joel, the second chapter. Fear not, O land, and be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, and for the pastures of the wilderness do spring, for the tree bears her fruit, the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain. Now, this is what God is promising. Latter rain in the first month, and the floor shall be full of wheat, and the vessel, and this is after their fast, shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm of those great armies which I sent among you. Jesus sent them. And so God sent them. And he said, and ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you, and the people shall never be ashamed. So God began to promise them some things after they went on that fast, and things began to turn around. I remember I was on a job, and I used to quote that scripture. I said, Lord, when it was talking about sanctified fast, where's my favorite verses? Part of this one scripture. There's people, and I give it. Anyway, I used to say, oh, here it is right here in the 17th chapter. It said, let the priests and the ministers of the Lord weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? I used to say that all the time, because it looked like the heathen was ruling over us. And I'm one, I said, Lord, where are you? Because I surely ain't going to let the heathen rule over. I used to say that all the time when I was there, just cutting up. But anyway, I wasn't cutting up. I was true. I was really thinking that. But anyway, I was wanting to see that. So anyway, so then from Joel, the reason why I mentioned Joel in such a great way is because that same scripture is mentioned over in the book of Acts. And it says over in the book of Acts, it talks about, let's see, I got it right here. But anyway, it says the promise begins to feel. Oh, okay, so then that promise that was made in Joel that he would pour out his spirit upon all flesh, that promise began to be fulfilled on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was poured out, and it was continued in the covenant, converting grace and miraculous gifts conferred in both the Jewish and the Gentile. So God poured out on all flesh. It was no respect of person. It wasn't because you was a Jew that you got it. None of those things happened. It was because God had promised to pour the Spirit out on all flesh, and so that is exactly what God began to do. So we got to understand God is doing some things. And I just believe that we're going to begin to see the miracles again, and more that we draw nearer to God through fasting and through praying and praying for the repentance of this nation and all of these different things. I begin to think we're going to begin to see the miracles of God again. We have, you know, some people might be still seeing them in their church. Some people are still experiencing them in their lives. But we're not seeing that outpour like I remember when I was coming up. We used to see a whole bunch of stuff going on. We used to see crutches on the walls from people, you know, being able to walk and getting out of wheelchairs and demons being cast out of people and those kind of things going on. We saw that kind of stuff. So I saw it with my own eyes, so I know it can happen. And so anyway, God promised us, Jesus promised, he said, greater works shall ye do. But I believe we got to fast and pray to get to those greater works. And so when I think about from the Old Testament to the New Testament, because we're going into the New Testament fast, the Old Testament, like, you know, the Old Testament and the New Testament, what's the difference between them? In many ways, they're complementary. Because what's concealed in the Old Testament is revealed in the New Testament. And so we got to rethink about it from that way. And then also, you know, there were a lot of types and shadows in the Old Testament pointing to Christ. They were pointing to Christ. If you think about Abraham and Isaac, Isaac was a type of Christ. And you know, and even the tabernacle was a type of Christ. And so you go on to all these different things that are a type of Christ. And we might talk about that one day on a thing and really get into that, dive into that. But all of those things were a type of Christ that pointed to the New Testament truth. So what in the Old Testament, it might have been, you know, it was principles that were established. The Old Testament contained many prophecies that were fulfilled in the New Testament. I mean, if you think about Isaiah prophesied that, you know, that the government should be on his shoulder. He prophesied about Jesus coming. So many of them. And even Hosea was a type of Christ, with Christ being the bridegroom. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. The bridegroom, and then Hosea married the whore. Remember that? He married the whore. And so and how God was trying to, you know, he made that typology of the world being sinful, but God still had mercy, and God and Jesus still wanted to be, he wanted us to still be his bride. That was the point I'm making there. And so we got to remember all these typologies and what they're doing and how they're pointing to Christ. And so that's the difference in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And when I was talking about that, in the Old Testament, they fasted more for the repenting of sins and for all those things. Not that we still don't have to repent today. The Bible says, shall sin continue, that grace shall abound. He said, God forbid. So, no, we're not supposed to continue in sin. We're supposed to come out of sin and begin to live a life of obedience. That's what we're supposed to, that's the goal there. We accept Christ, we get salvation, and then we begin to progressively get to know God better, get to learn more about God, and get to begin to live a more obedient lifestyle to him so that we can be ready to go back with him when he comes, whether he comes before the rapture or after, you know, whether you go back with him before the rapture or after the rapture, you know what I'm saying, or during the rapture. But what during the rapture, not after, because after is the tribulation period. But anyway, so we got to wonder, either we going before or we gonna go during. But anyway, nevertheless, we want to be right with God. We want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. We want to be obedient to God because we want to be ready for that day. We want to be ready that when he comes back to get us, that we can go on. We don't want to be like those ones over there. I think it's in Matthew 25. It might be Matthew 25, 24, 25, where it talks about, they talk about, well, Lord, I prophesied in your name. Lord, I did this in your name. He said, but I never knew you. We don't want to be that person. We don't want to be that person. So we want to make sure that our heart is in the right place. And sometimes it's going to take us to turn our place down and get to a place of fasting and prayer so that we can begin to live a life with Christ that he has ordained for us to live. He didn't die. What was the point of him dying? You know, that's what happened to Moses. You know, when he struck that rock that second time, it was like he crucified, it was a type of Christ. He crucified Christ afresh. That's what it said. And so that's why he got punished about that situation. And so so we got to understand all of these things. But anyway, so we're moving into the New Testament, and so we start with Jesus. No, we start with Anna first, because Anna was the one fasting and praying, because her and Simon, They, is it Simeon or Simon, wherever it's pronounced, they wanted to see Christ. And so Anna had been found, Anna was found praying, fasting and praying. They said she was always fasting and praying, because so it kept her ready for ministry. Her fasting and praying kept her ready for ministry. How many of us want to be ready for ministry? These are some things we got decided. We're saying we called to ministry. And even those that are not called, you still got a job to do. I tell people all the time, we are on assignment wherever we go. If you're a child of God, you're on assignment. When you're at work, you're on assignment. Because you don't know who needs prayer. You don't know who needs salvation. So we got to be ready for those things at all times. Because we might need to give somebody a kind word. So if you're on your job cutting up, stop it, because you're not representing Christ. We got to think about that. Are we representing Christ? That's the key. If we're going to be a Christian, we're going to be a child of God, we need to represent Christ. That's what we need to be doing. So if you're cutting up on the job, and if you're a manager, and you're causing people to be in trouble, that ain't God. So let's seek him on it. Seek the Lord on it so he can give you the right answer for that situation. Does anybody have anything they want to say? Okay, I'm going to keep on going. So we go into this thing. Fasting is incredibly helpful for ministry. A lot of people, if you look at a lot of men and women of God that have started birth ministries, they started them by fasting and praying. And so it shifted them into a place where they would be prepared for ministry. So now the shift in fasting is launching ministry. And so I think it was Elder Dotson that told us on a previous broadcast that if you really want to find your purpose, if you really want to do what God said, he said, go on a fast. He said God will begin to tell you about what you need to do. I read so many things where the authors of the book said, you know, when they got ready to go in ministry, they were being called into ministry. They felt God pushing, calling them, and had felt God drawing them to ministry. They began to fast and to pray. So if that is something that you feel like God is calling you into, then you need to begin to fast and to pray. And really get to what God is saying to you, so that you can be clear and you can minister with clarity and you do things with clarity. And then I also believe those that, because there's so many people with spiritual gifts that, you know, have gifts of healing and gifts of you know, the various gifts, and we talked about that on another series. But you know, they have those gifts, and I might start playing that so people can hear if they want to. But anyway, they have spiritual gifts. If you want to see your gifts used in a more powerful way, begin to fast and pray. I'm not saying that you're not doing it, but what I'm saying is we got to bring fasting and prayer back in so that we can really begin to see the move of God like we, you know, like it used to, or not even like it used to, like it can be, like, you know, what God has intended for to be. That's what I'm saying. So anyway, we get into, where's my time at? Because, you know, I can go over. I got a little time to go into this. Anyway, so here we start out with the fourth chapter, and we start talking about, I was talking about Anna. That's what I was talking about. See how I got off quick that quick? I had something down here about Anna. Let me find Anna real quick because I want to talk about, here she is right here. So Anna wanted to see Jesus. And so she was waiting on the Messiah to come. And so the first mention of fasting, of course, the New Testament was connection with the presentation of the baby Jesus. And so at the temple. And so it says two godly people, Simeon and Anna, were attracted to the infant. And Anna's constant service of God, to God is called fasting and prayers. And so that's what Anna was doing. And so it literally means not having eaten and things like that. We know what fasting is. And so she was, it says Simeon prophesied that Jesus would have a paradoxical effect on Israel and that some would fall because of him. And so anyway, it just went into all that. But those two began to fast and pray. And it says, although they were very old, they kept fasting and praying. And let me say this. This just popped back in my mind because I forgot to talk about this. When I was talking about the heart, let me go back to that because that was important. I wanted to make sure I brought that up. When we were talking about the heart of things and that God wanted us to rend our heart and not our garment, the one thing I was sitting there when I was in my study time, the Lord brought to me about the Beatitudes. He said that And this is segueing into the Old and New Testament. I want to mention this because this is an Old New Testament reference here about the Beatitudes that Jesus taught, and then we talk about the Ten Commandments when Moses got them, and a little bit here. Let me just talk about that for just a few minutes. So when Jesus was talking about the Ten Commandments, when Jesus was talking about the Beatitudes, and we were talking about us having a heart, the first four Beatitudes, and it's the poor in spirit, they that mourn, the meek, and then those that hunger and thirst. Those first four describe the heart of a person. So those four Beatitudes, if you read those are describing the heart of us, of each person. That's the kind of heart that Jesus wanted us to have. And when we say poor in spirit, we're not talking about just poverty, but we're talking about somebody that is fully dependent on God. That's what we talk about when we talk about the poor in spirit. And so it's somebody that is fully dependent on God. But those first four talk about our heart, and then the other ones talk about how we are to treat other people. And that's what that talks about. And so then also, though, but if we think about, I think here it is, talks about the first commandment. Says, you shall have no other gods before me. It's Exodus 20 and 2. And it says, and so that's foundational because in the whole sense, that the person who is unfaithful to the first commandment would probably not do right by the rest of them. That's what God was saying when he wanted us. He said, and then Jesus came back and said that. He said that the first two commandments, it all hangs on them. So if you get them right, you'll probably get the rest of them right. But if you don't get those two right, then you're probably not going to fall in line. Then nobody will fall in line with the rest. I'm not saying you like you. I'm talking about all of them. And so I just wanted to bring those two, that out about the heart, that in the Beatitudes, when he talks about those first four Beatitudes, he's talking about in a present sense at that time too, because he said that, you know, blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall, theirs is the kingdom of God. All of those had an is in it, so it's talking about present. But the other ones had will do something, or it will do that. So it's talking about in a future sense. And so I just wanted to bring that out because it was talking about the heart, and that's all I wanted to say about that. But so let's get to Jesus. So Jesus comes on the scene. This is after Jesus had been baptized in the Jordan with John the Baptist. So here he is. And so this particular scripture is, Jesus begins to fast because he's taken immediately into the wilderness after he is baptized. He's taken immediately into the wilderness. Let's see, do I have 18? 18 minutes left. Okay, he's taken immediately into the wilderness. And so then what happens is he's tempted of the devil. And my Bible says that he does not eat anything, but it does not say that he didn't drink anything. So he did drink it, but it makes mention that he did not eat anything. And so if we read that particular scripture, let me get to it. I'm going to use the Luke scripture. I know I print that out. Jesus fasting. Let's see. Here it is right here. Yeah, here it is. Luke 4. I'm in the fourth chapter. And it says, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did not eat anything. He did not eat nothing. And when they were ended, when the 40 days were ended, he after hungered. And so then here comes the enemy tempting him. And it says, and the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into a high place, high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. Well, first of all, okay, I couldn't understand it. But anyway, at this point, Jesus was more in a human state. He was still both God and man at the time. So he had to go through these. He was tempted of all things, tempted of the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and the lust of the eye. So he was tempted at all points, but he didn't fail at any of. But anyway, here was the devil. He was tempting him because he was trying to make Jesus bow down and worship him in some type of way. And so we got to understand that we can win in fighting the devil. Jesus showed us how. He put the word on it. He said, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. And so when Jesus went through all these temptations with the enemy, after that, this is now, I want to read this because it's the 13th verse. I'm not going to read all those scriptures for the sake of time, but go back and read the 4th chapter of Luke about when Jesus fasted. And it said, but in the 13th verse, this is something, because after he had tempted them, he had done all these things, then it said, and when the devil had ended all temptation, he departed from him for a season. And so if he departed from Jesus for a season, so that means that sometime he'll come back your way again too. We can't be devastated every time we come up under attack, because he's going to come, but that don't mean he's going to win. That's what we got to remember. Just because he keeps coming, because he came back to Jesus, now we got to understand, the whole cross experience, the enemy was right there in it. And it said, it told us that that Jesus was bruised. What it says over in Genesis 3 and 15, let me go to it. Genesis 3 and 15, because this tells us the whole thing right there. This is when Jesus, the promise of the Messiah and everything came. I think it's Genesis 3 and 15, and it said that he would bruise his heel, bruise his head, and let me get it right so I can quote it right, because, you know, sometimes we get it off, we think we're quoting it right, we ain't quoting it right. And so I don't want to do that. But it's Genesis 3 and 15. So, where is it at here? Ooh, I'm going to give me some of them large print Bibles. Anyway. Oh, here's where I got gold one. Okay. Genesis 3 and 15 says, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So that we know that what was going to happen right then, because that was God telling us he was going to send the Messiah right then. That's what he was telling us and what was going to happen on the cross experience. But here, so the devil left him for a season, but he was going to come back. So I just want you to be encouraged. If the enemy does start, if you get out of one situation, you feel like you're coming into another attack, don't worry about it. Give it over to God. Begin to praise and worship him through that situation. And keep yourself in the word of God, because even though he may come back for a season, that don't mean he's going to win. He is not going to win. You're on the winning side if you're on the side with Christ. If you fasting and praying and keeping in your word, keeping yourself strong with the word of God, keeping yourself in with fasting and praying and with the word of God, he can't win. Now, it might look like it sometimes, but the Bible tells us over in Psalms 36, it says, fret not thyself because of evildoers. Neither be thou envious of the workers of iniquity, says they will soon be cut off. So I think about that when the devil try to come. I say, you're going to be cut off. That's what I do know. You will be defeated. He is already defeated, so ain't no need you going there and being defeated with him. Stay on top of it. Stay, because he said when the enemy come in like a flood, he said the Spirit of God will lift up a standard against. We got to know whose side we on. We got to know who we are. We king's kids. We don't have to succumb to that. He's under our feet. He gives us the power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Remember who you are. You're a king's kid. You're a king's kid. You can do greater work. You got a relationship with God. You're building it through fasting and with praying and with meditating on that word of God. I told you the Lord blessed me to begin to develop a prayer life when I was a caretaker, taking care of my mother and my aunt. Those years, I was 18, from 18 to 34, I was taking care of both of them. And because of that, I began to have this prayer life. I began to develop this prayer life and this time of meditation and prayer. And I still do it today. Now, I'm talking about from 18, and you know I'm 50-ish. Anyway, you just got it. It launched it in me. And so from that point on, I've been doing that all of my life. That's what I've been. I keep that same schedule People wonder why I get up so early. I used to tell them at work, why I get up so early praying, and I get before the Lord so I won't come here and let y'all have. But anyway, that's why I just tell them, you know, but I was in there cutting up, making my jokes. But anyway, and they was glad for me to fast and pray, believe me. And so anyway, but I developed that. So when you're going through trial and tribulation, get in that place with God. I'm telling you, he'll help you to go through it. When I tell you, he'll help you to go through it. For all of you that are caretakers, all because people, your parents are aging and things are going on, and some of you got children that are sick and husbands or wives or whatever, if you're in that place, I'm telling you, develop that time with the Lord. If you got to get up hours early before they get up. I told you, my mother used to get up at 6 o'clock on the dot, 6 a.m. on the dot. Denise! Denise! She used to holler my name. I had to go rise to the occasion and get in there and help and do whatever I had to do. But I'm telling you, that 5 a.m. to 6 o'clock p.m., I got to take some time with the Lord, and that helped to strengthen me. It helped me to make it through. And, you know, of course, we were doing fasting during that time. You know, we used to have a day of fasting back then. Or we used to do that, but those were the times that took me through. That time with God, it is important to me. That time with God is important because it is what will take you through anything. It is important. I'm telling you, give him some of that time. I'm telling you, to change your life. It'll change the focus of what you think about things and how things go. And sometimes we get a little off because we get, you know, we tired of, oh, Lord, I'm sick of this food. I'm sick of being in this. Yeah, we get like that. I ain't gonna say that ain't going to happen. But I always would find myself back in that time of prayer. Does anybody on the line have anything they want to say?
Okay, I'm enjoying.
Oh, thank the Lord. Go ahead, El Dotson.
Enjoying what's going on. The Lord is really revealing a lot through you, and his word is coming alive. I hope the listeners are seeing what you are saying, because you're painting a picture, and it's really coming to view what the Lord wants for us. You know, we're so quick to sing the song, Lord, I'm committed to you, but you can't be committed without being submitted.
Thank you. Thank you. You can't. Woo, that's a whole lot right there.
You got to submit to the will of God. You got to submit to the things that he shows you. You got to submit to his word. And then you're committed. So you can't commit yourself until you submit yourself. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Now, that's a word for it. Right there, that's a word for a whole lot of things. A lot of times we can't, he said, you can't commit yourself till you submit yourself. We got to that right there will help us on a whole lot of things if we think about it. It'll help us with our relationship with God. It'll help us if we're trying to be on, do some other things in life, bring some other disciplines. You got to submit yourself before you can get to the place of commission, being committed. So we got to submit ourselves under God. I don't care. You know, I know the world is doing all these kind of things, and we're trying to win the world, and what all are we trying to do? And that's fine, well, and good, and I'm okay with that. But Jesus, God said himself, he said, I don't lie and I don't change. That's what he said. He said that. So we still got to come up under the word of God. He's got a standard. And if we ain't at the standard, then we just got to do what we got to do, make some adjustments, make some discipline adjustments, make some submission adjustments, and bring ourselves up to the level that God has, the standard that he's already set. That's all we got to do. This is a judge. We ain't judging nothing. We just got to bring ourselves up to it. That's what walking with the Lord is about, walking it out. But we have to submit ourselves. He said we have to submit ourselves to God. That's what we have to do. And so we can do it through fasting and through praying, through meditating on the word of God, attending service. The Bible said faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you ain't hearing no word, you might not be having enough faith. And we're going to talk about that, because all of that fasting, faith, and patience, we're going to talk about that towards the end. And I don't know if we're going to get on that today, because my time is really running out. I got about 7 minutes. But I keep saying, I'm going to finish it up, but I guess I'm not going to finish it up today, because we ain't even really got into all the New Testament. We got to talk about Jesus. We got to talk about Paul and Barnabas. We got to talk about Paul and his conversion and his three-day fast with that, and how he had to get to Ananias, and we got to talk about that. We got to talk about, and all of these launched ministry, Because you got to think about when Paul was on the Damascus Road and Jesus, that was the whole time he was blind, Jesus was revealing stuff to him, showing him stuff and showing. So Paul had a lesson. He had a crash course when the disciples got to walk with Jesus those years, but Paul got a crash course with Jesus. And so we got to talk about that. But he fasted during that time. And so, because he wasn't eating, because he couldn't see, he couldn't, you know, he had to have people lead him around. But when he got to Ananias, Ananias was even saying, "You want me?" Well, I'm just paraphrasing. "Lord, you want me to do that?" Because you know he was persecuting the Christians. He was cutting up. Saul at the time was cutting up. He was at the stoning of Stephen up there holding the coat. He said, "Give me your coat. Why y'all throw the stone?" Now, you know, I'm just saying, I don't know if that's what he said now, but you know that's what it looked like because he was over there holding them coats while they were stoning Stephen and all those kind of things. So Paul was cutting up. He was coming in town to get the Christians. And then God, Jesus, knocked him off that horse, and that light blinded him. But he fasted 3 days. And when he came up off that three-day fast, he received his sight, and he went right on into ministry. And so I'm telling you, if you want your ministry to take off, then you need to get before the Lord, and you need to humble yourself with fasting and prayer, and you need to have a hunger and thirst for God through fasting and prayer, and let God begin to bring you into a deeper place. If you really want the changes to be made for you pastors and stuff, and that you want to see the difference in your churches grow, you got to begin to really do these things so that they can come, people can come. People want the word of God. Well, I noticed my pastor's really getting back to that old teacher. I mean, the people be in there. And so they be there because they're hungering and thirsting after that. At the end of the day, I know people think, "Oh, it's the new age and stuff," but people still want God. They still want God. They want to know about God. They want to be able to stand. Because I'm telling you, it's a good teaching I receive. Elder Dawson and Sister Dawson, we know it. It's that good teaching that we receive. When Bishop Allen was teaching us, he was teaching us, and even the good teaching I'm receiving today from Bishop Jay, all and their pastors, everybody's pastors, they're teaching us some of that good teaching that gives us a foundation to stand upon. If you don't have no foundation, you can't stand. A house won't stand if the foundation ain't good. If that foundation starts cracking, the house starts going up. You know, you see cracks in the wall, you see all kinds of stuff happening. That's why we got to make sure that our foundation is sure. We got to build a better relationship with God. Those are the things we have to do. Now, I'm going to ask Elder Dawson if he will do the call to Christ, and that Sister Dawson would pray us out because it's time for me to go, and I don't want to go too far over my cat. But anyway, I have enjoyed teaching us today about fasting. We're going to get to the New Testament fast next week, and then we're going to get some tips on fasting. I'm hoping I get through it. But I get so excited and I get off on other things. But nevertheless, we want you to be blessed, and we thank God for each and every one of you that logged in, tuned in, those that have joined us on Facebook Live, and all those that will listen later. We thank God for each and every one of you. Elder Dawson, will you do our call to Christ?
Yes, I will. To all of those that want to be committed to the Lord, that want to be on the Lord's side, submit with this prayer. Lord, I want to change. I know that you died for my sins. I know that you went to the cross for me, that you hung there and you bled for me. And Lord, I know that you went into the grave and rose on the third day with all power in your hand. And I submit to you this day my heart, my soul, and my mind. Please make me one with you. Please forgive me for all that I have done, because I want to be clean, and I want to be your daughter, and I want to be your son. So, Lord, receive my heart, and I'll bless you and I'll praise you for all my days. If you've prayed this prayer with me, you are saved. God has saved you. So get yourself in a Bible-believing church. Get yourself in a church where they teach the word of God, and get closer, because God needs you to do a marvelous work for him. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Sister Dawson, will you do our final prayer?
Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your mercies, Lord. Your mercies we see new every day. And we thank you for blessing us and bringing us to this hour. Dear God, we thank you for the word that we heard. We thank you, dear Lord, that it is a fresh word and is an encouraging word. Dear God, help us to remember what you said, not only be hearers but doers of the word. Dear God, I pray that you bless everyone that heard this broadcast and those that will tune in later. I pray that you touch everyone and bless them throughout their week, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, I bless your name, and I praise you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. And for all of you that are just logging in, we've been on here talking about fasting. We're going to continue on next week, and hopefully we'll get through the rest of it. We're in the New Testament, so we're going to talk about Matthew 6, Matthew 17. We're going to talk about Acts 9th chapter, and I think it's Acts the 13th chapter, and we're going to talk through those. And then there's a couple of in Corinthians. We're going to even talk about Corinthians 7, where it talks about for married couples, abstaining from one another for the reason of fasting. So we're going to talk about that. Then we're going to get some tips on fasting, how to begin a fast, how to end a fast, and things like that. And then we're going to go back over the number of days of fasting and things like that. And so we'll do that, and I'll try to get through all that. I get so excited and I start talking about so much stuff. But anyway, Lord, give it to me. I got to give it. And so anyway, thank you so much for logging in and listening to us on Facebook, those that logged in on the broadcast, on the Internet, and for those that called in. We're so grateful for your support, and we thank God for each and every one of you, and I pray that you'll come back and join us on next week on the Prospering Souls broadcast. God bless you all.
God bless you. Be blessed.
Amen.